We have to sync up our periods.
I thought our periods were already synced up. We're all fucking emo at the same time. I go on Facebook and everybody's like, oh, my, fuck my life.
I think everybody was so traumatized by holding the door that they just collectively lost their shit.
Let's not start the show off with a fucking downer.
Everything sucks.
Anyway, let's talk about how everybody's using drugs. Drugs are bad.
I'm going to go put on my Chemical Romance album.
Where's my black eyeliner? I'm going to be Batman now.
And apparently I look like I'm in a Zack Snyder film right now.
You do.
Yeah.
You're dark and gritty.
So I'm all style and no substance right now.
I didn't say that. I was hoping it was going to bleed over, you know?
I look good, but that's about it. I'm just a hollow shell with nothing going on.
All right, welcome back to Mouthy Broadcast.
Genius, right? Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. A movie that couldn't even make more money than Deadpool.
I don't even think it made more than Zootopia.
No, like, Zootopia beat it.
Yeah, that's how bad it was.
Deadpool, an R-rated movie that did not get a 3D release either, made more money than Batman vs. Superman. The two most iconic superheroes of all time.
Yes.
In the movie for the first time together, and it just went...
It's the worst superhero movie of the year. Okay. That we can easily say. Even if
probably
you liked it, there's no way that you could say it's better than Deadpool or Captain America. No.
It's not even the same ballpark as those two.
That's right.
Oh, God. I probably should see that at some point, just so that I can mock it, you know.
Yeah, have a few drinks, because it's going to get ugly. It's.
I mean, but I'm not, like, tied to the DC Universe as much as a lot of people are.
Neither am I. Like, I was just like, this is just a shitty movie. Like.
Right. Like, and supposedly there's going to be a director's cut that comes out that will be rated R, and it has extra scenes in it. Like, why does anybody need this?
Well, apparently it has, like, two key scenes that were cut out of the first act that made it make sense.
Well, here's
that's what I heard. I don't know.
Why didn't they leave those in?
Why? Why indeed?
I don't know. Like, see, I said, I haven't seen it, so it's
you
hard
have
to
listen to Mouthy Broadcast to get those really hard-hitting questions, like... Why wasn't this movie better?
Well, it was so fucking grim and dark that, like, I would not take my 7-year-old godson to see this movie. I would not take a 7-year-old to see a movie about Superman and Batman. Like, how fucked up is that?
Yeah, that's what Ben has said. He was like, you know, he said he actually felt uncomfortable a few times where he's sitting there with, like, his 12-year-old kids, and he's like, this is not the kind of image that I want the kids to think about with these characters. You know,
I'm still iffy about whether, like, I'd want him to see Civil War, because it gets pretty intense towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Batman vs. Superman, like, the whole movie is like that. It's like, that's not good for kids. You're just pandering to, like, neckbeards from Reddit that think everything should be dark and gritty.
I think this is, like, the third show we've started out talking about how fucking shitty Batman vs. Superman
but aren't
is.
So we just pandering towards neckbeards from Reddit to get listeners?
Yeah.
I have PTSD from that movie.
Triggered. Oh, God. Oh, so have you guys been watching Preacher, speaking of dark and gritty?
I have.
I don't even know what it is.
It's a TV adaptation on AMC based off of a comic book series.
Oh, I saw the preview for it. I did see the preview. Okay.
Yeah.
But continue with the synopsis, because I don't remember much.
I don't... The synopsis basically from the comic books, like, TLDR, this guy gets magic powers from heaven and does stuff and tries to save the world. It's one of the
best... He's a preacher.
Yeah. One of the best comic series, like, probably the first one that I read straight through, because I was never really into superhero comics, but when I read that was, like, what sold me on reading comics. So it's, like, one of my favorite series of all time. So, naturally, I'm excited when this show comes out. But the first episode, like, honestly, it was just not 100%. And I couldn't put my finger on what was wrong with it.
I think it's because we have these versions of the characters that have been in our heads for like 15 years now, at least.
Yeah.
So then we see a slightly modified version of them on the screen. It kind of rustles our jimmies a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll rustle your jimmy a little bit.
I just kind of feel like Jesse, the main character, he's just kind of weak. And there's a point in the story where this happens. He is broken and, you know, he's defeated and he kind of needs to build himself back up again. But to start out with him like that, it just feels wrong. I don't know how to say that any better.
It's hard to get into without spoiling the rest of the story.
Right.
It's just they started off the character in a weird spot that doesn't really... It's not congruent with the way that the comics were.
Actually.
Yeah. Well, actually.
Yeah, and I don't mind if they need to change the story around to adapt it to TV, because there are some parts like... I guess they said that, you know, they realized that they couldn't start the TV story, at 100 miles an hour, the story does in the comic book.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was so slow. I mean, but the supporting characters, I can't say the supporting characters. The other two main characters, Tulip and Cassidy, are just fantastic.
Yeah, I would watch a whole show of Tulip if it was just her, making bazookas by herself.
Do you guys think that you're so disappointed in it just because you had the expectation from the book?
No, I don't think so.
I'm reserving judgment until I see more of it and see where they take the story.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep watching it. It's not like it killed it for me. I felt like it was just a little bit off the mark. And I think that if you... I don't know how to say this either. I think I would still enjoy it, even if I hadn't read the comic. But even still, the beginning was a little bit slow and the pacing just felt a little bit off to me. Like, for something that's supposed to take place, in Texas, in this backwater Texas town, it just felt like they're trying to tell too much in the first episode and they're pushing it forward a little bit too fast. And I felt like it needed to just you kind of need to get acquainted with the characters in order to care about them a little bit more about what's going on with them. Does that make sense?
Also, I didn't think that they explained things well enough for people who haven't read the comic. Because, I'm mm-hmm. sure there were people watching the show and being like, okay, what the fuck is Cassidy's deal?
Right.
Why is he doing those things? What are his powers?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because Ben has never read these. Mm-hmm. So while we sit there and watch The Flash, he's telling me that's the such and such guy, or this is going to be this, and he's telling me all these things and explaining what's going to happen, and I'm fine with it because they change things in the TV show compared to the comic book, so it's not like I'm getting spoilers, and it helps me to put everything together as I'm watching it, basically. So now this is the opposite. He's asking me stuff and he's like, well, who's this, and what's going on? So, and I'm having to explain all these things. He has no idea about any of these characters.
But you don't know if the show is going to treat the characteristic as a reveal later on. You don't want to ruin a surprise where it's like, oh, it turns out that this person is actually blank. And
Right. So, I mean, it's
you
worth watching.
You guys are doing a really good job of not spoiling anything, because I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about right now. I'm just totally lost. As a non-reader of the books, would I enjoy the show? Where it's hard
then
to
you
say.
Should probably watch it. If you can catch the first episode, because only one episode has been on at this point.
Okay.
I mean, actually, by the time this show comes out, it's going to be two. But, you know, watch the first episode, watch the second episode, and see what you think about it. And then, you know, maybe we can talk about it some more next time.
Okay. I have homework.
Yeah, you have homework.
Awesome.
I mean, it might be one of those things where, I've watched certain things, and I'm like, okay, I need to ask somebody who's familiar with the source material, because I don't know what the fuck I just watched.
Right.
The movie Inherent Vice, it was based on a book. The movie made no sense to me, so I had to ask a fan of the book, what the hell did I just watch?
And I think that's kind of shitty, because if the movie or the TV show can't stand on its own without having read the book, then what's the point? Why do you even bother to make an adaptation of it?
I don't know.
Right.
I mean, the book can help provide, extra backstory or to fill in some of the blanks that maybe they leave out, but, you know...
That's an excuse I hear a lot for The Walking Dead, where people are like, yeah, but in the comic books, this character gets a lot more backstory. It's like, yeah, but they're not doing it in the show, so fuck the comic.
Yeah,
and it's not even following the same storyline. You can't even acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people who love characters and are really excited to see them on screen, but it's essentially a different character by the time they do that because they're not giving it the backstory.
But right. You can change the character and still make it good. Like,
right.
Like Hannibal. I read all the books, I had seen the previous movies, and I watched the show, and I was like, okay, Hannibal Lecter is still Hannibal Lecter, but his relationship with Will Graham is very different on this show.
Right. And, yeah, because they did a really great job of building up that Hannibal, that character, and that Will, and their relationship. And it didn't matter whether you read the books or not, because I've only read, like, two of them. So, I mean, everything that you know has been thrown out the window.
Yeah, it, and they worked in stuff from the books, but, like, in its own way, like, kind of like in a, like a remix or something.
Mm-hmm.
But
remix!
in the books, Hannibal hates Will. Like, they only had worked together professionally, and then when Will figured out Hannibal's shit, Hannibal was humiliated. He was like, I got caught by this fucking guy? Like, I should have been caught by, like, Sherlock Holmes. Like, this right. guy, this dude? Whereas in the show, like, Hannibal actually looks up to Will and he respects him. He's like...
He looks up as he's sucking his dick.
He sniffs him from behind and...
Give him the rusty trombone.
Tell me, Will, how does your penis feel? Does it feel like a god right now? I don't know what my penis feels like, Dr. Lecter.
Once again, I don't know if any of this is canon or not. I have no idea.
100% canon.
Just we're actually not that far off. Like, the show does have a kind of a homosexual undertone to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, Hannibal was gay, right?
Hannibal's omnisexual.
Right. I thought so.
So, like,
I shouldn't have said gay.
The way the creator put it, they develop a romance that's not sexual or okay. traditional. It's the weirdest
fucking
romance.
Hannibal is omnisexual. Will is asexual. Yet they carry on a love affair in their own ways.
Will is heterosexual.
Okay,
but yeah. With Hannibal Lecter, he finds the only person in his life who understands him, who doesn't like treat him like, you know, damaged goods. Even though Hannibal is also manipulating him at the same time.
So, I hate to change subjects, like, so suddenly, but, Lauren, you were telling us about, you started watching, like, I guess you binged a show this weekend?
Yes,
What did you watch?
I was supposed to be getting my house cleaned and organized, so I decided to binge watch stuff instead.
Of course.
You guys know how that is.
Yeah, on chore weekends, that's when I get my best binging done.
That's right. So I've watched the entire series of BoJack Horseman.
Oh.
So have you guys seen that?
I only saw like the first couple episodes and it didn't really stick with me.
All right, well, let me give you my synopsis on BoJack Horseman. It's an animated series whose lead character is a horse named BoJack Horseman. The series has a lot of wacky, zany talking animals in it, but there are also humans in it too. It's kind of a really strange universe. But it's based on our universe. So like there are people with, interesting names, like Lance Bass, is in the show and he's an actual like guy with a fish head.
That's awesome.
Does the real Lance Bass do the voice?
Yes. The real Lance Bass. It's just a cameo.
That's extra awesome.
But that's like a common recurrence. Like there'll be like a famous name that you can make an animal and the animal's mm-hmm. head is on their body. You know, it's kind of funny.
And I know he's kind of like a actor that was in like a Full House sort of show
exactly.
or something.
BoJack Horseman is a washed up sitcom actor who's trying to revitalize his career. And TV's Jeff actually recommended the show to me, but he gave me this really odd recommendation. He said...
Well, he is odd.
He is odd. But he said, have you heard of BoJack Horseman? And I was like, no. He's like, well, I just started watching it one day and I wasn't really vested in it at all, like the first two episodes, but I was homesick, so I just left it on. And then all of a sudden the humor went from being really slapsticky and terrible to being absolutely hilarious, even though it's the same jokes. It's like you just keep hearing the same jokes and then all of a sudden they start being funny.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and then, you know, I'm kind of like enjoying it and all of a sudden it takes this really dark turn. And I have all these feelings from this fucking horse cartoon.
And so that's what I heard.
Yeah, so I decided to give it a try, and that's exactly what happened to me.
Now, how far do I need to get before I just give up? Because I got about 4 episodes in, and it wasn't, it just wasn't quite selling me.
Go to the 5th. Go to, I just honestly, more. I would say for me, it was like episode 7, but I'd say go to the 5th, mm-hmm. and if you're not into it, forget about it, and I'll be honest with you, even though I watched all of it, and I enjoyed watching all of it, I sent Jeff a text today that said, finished BoJack Horseman. Thanks. But also, I hate you. Because and I know we have kind of similar emo swings. There are some deep moments here where it's like, really like existential, like.
So I might actually be
life
more into
choice
it.
Things. Yeah.
Like if I'm already in like an emo, like, you know, existential stage, then maybe this would relate to me better at that time.
I mean, BoJack just goes through a lot of, like, soul search. Well, see, it's soul searching, but it's not soul searching. Because, like, he'll start soul searching and realize, like, oh my god, I'm a shitty person and I have to do this and I have to change that. But then he just doesn't change. Mm-hmm. Like, then he just stays a shitty person. Or
that
a shitty
like
horse.
Me.
Yeah. And even, like, the other characters in it, like, there are characters in it who are very, like, they seem like they're just side characters, they're not going to be important at all, and then they go through these, like, really intense soul-searching moments where you're like, what the hell is happening here? Mm-hmm. Like, why, you know, so Aaron Paul is one of the voices in it.
He's his roommate, right?
Yes, Aaron Paul is okay. BoJack's roommate. BoJack himself is voiced by Will Arnett, who is also hilarious.
Okay.
Who else? Amy Sedaris is a big part in it from Strangers with Candy. And Allison Brie from Community.
Okay.
She's a big role. Paul F. Tompkins kind of plays like BoJack's rival.
I first heard about this show from The Hulkster.
Mm-hmm.
And the
I could
the
really
on,
see The Hulkster liking it a lot. Yeah.
The dudes on Good Morning, You Drunks. They've been loving that show.
Yeah.
They said it was kind of like Louie, where like it can be like, oh, this kind of happy storyline, and then all of a sudden it's like, bam, it's dark.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I trust the recommendation. I trust your recommendation. I just have to like get in the right frame of mind, I think is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and it hooks you with being funny. Like, it doesn't get dark till the end of the first season, and then I felt like. There were a few episodes at the end of the first season where it's just like, oh my god, this is terrible. Like, there's not even humor in it. It's just like, ugh. You know?
Right.
And then the second season was kind of a little more balanced. It was like, the episodes were more balanced where, like, there would be a dark theme but a lot more humor in it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Good Morning, You Drunks, I need to talk up my upcoming appearance, I guess, I don't know, on Radio Free Radio. They have started their own radio station. Like, they're not doing podcasting anymore. They're doing like a full-on internet radio station, and they're doing like local music and indie music during the day, and then they do like their programs at night. And so they do one show called Deprogrammed at I think it's 9 o'clock on Tuesdays. Don't count me on that. I need to post a link or something. Like, I should probably find out if I'm going to be on this show live, you know? But basically, the premise of this show is they get fans of a band together, and you bring in your top 10 list of that band songs, and you just kind of go around the table and kind of come up with a top 10 list, like a collaborative top 10 list. And this show, number one, like, even if I was just a listener, it would speak to me on the level of I like making lists for things, and I like music, and I like that sort of idea. So when I got invited to be on the first time, I was just like, this is amazing. This is the greatest thing ever. And then they asked me to be on again, so even better.
And tell us what band you're going to be talking about.
So on the 7th of June, I'm going to be on talking about Blur.
Yay.
Which, yeah, like, as soon as I found out that I could do the show again, I was like, can we do Blur next? I want to do this. Like, I need to talk about
it. In the meantime, let's form a protective circle around them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Maybe I should just bleep out their name from the show.
For their own safety.
Yeah. So I'll try not to talk about that band that I really, really, really like on this show, but I will be talking about them on their show, and they're at radiofradio.com. And I'll post the link and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm also going to be on sometime after that talking about Faith No More. And, I mean, I should probably bleep out that name, too.
Please.
Sorry.
I can't handle any more death this year.
I don't know how I can talk about things without actually saying the names. So, yeah. So I'm kind of nervous about that one because I don't feel like I know that band well enough. Like, I wish that Peter lived here so that he could just go over to the studio and be on for me. Like, this guy's going to take my place. He knows more about this band than I do. Just take my word for it. So, anyways, we got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with some voicemails from Howard. So,
I'm not afraid to die.
Howard's voicemails.
Yeah, we're going to listen to some voicemails.
Oh, yeah, voicemails. Howard has actually called, like, probably 27,000 times since last time.
What? Yeah. I don't know if he just misses us or...
I think he does. Yeah. And he likes just entertaining us.
He just needs somebody to talk to sometimes.
He's an entertaining guy.
He is.
Lauren, you need to meet Howard sometime.
I would love to.
He's great.
I'd love to meet Peter face-to-face sometime, too.
Howard's one of those people where, like, even if you've just met him, like, you feel at ease. Like, you feel like, you know, okay, like, this person's cool. I can talk with them.
Yeah.
Already feel that way about Howard, and I've never even met him.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Not IRL.
So he called, like I said, about 27,000 times. I haven't played... I might eventually get through the backlog of voicemails, but I'm not going to play them all on, like, one show. So... This is one that he called when we talked about the firehouse salad, which was his challenge to us to come up with a definition for what is a firehouse salad a few weeks ago, which definitely had something to do with analingus and hot sauce and blue cheese dressing or something like that. I don't even remember.
I've done it 3 times since then.
Yo-lo-lo-lo. Hello, Rod. It's your friend reporting
Hello.
From Orlando, Florida, Howard Moody. And I just thought you guys did such a great job with Firehouse Salad. But I think Firehouse Salad was a little too easy. Those of you who don't know, or who missed the episode, first of all, scorn you. Firehouse Salad... was a salad that I got at Firehouse.
So now he's going to recap it again.
It's like a sex act. The broad came up with a sex act that would be called Firehouse Salad. Well, this week I've got something a little more challenging for you.
Oh, shit.
He sounded really Irish right then.
This week... Okay, I got to set the story straight here, right? I was in... Taco Bell.
Did he just do a firehouse salad?
It didn't occur to me till later that this week's backpack is a crunch wrap. As in, Cheryl gave me a crunch wrap last night, and it sent me over the border. Crunch wrap.
Over the
crunch
border.
Crunch wrap. Make it happen. Let's hear what you got. It occurred to me I need to add an addendum to this week's sex act thing. Okay, so the crunch wrap was the homework that you guys had to come up
homework.
With the sex act for
again.
The crunch wrap. Well,
a lot of homework this
whatever
week.
The sex act is, there has to be the supreme version, as in crunch wrap supreme.
Okay.
And supreme has to also be able to have the ability to add to any sex act, as in... After Cheryl gave me the crunch wrap, I gave her a firehouse salad supreme. So, supreme it, babies. And, oh, I've got a bone to pick with you. How dare you have a mouthy broadcast Motorhead diff? Are you kidding
You're
me?
You're fucking trolling, Howard.
Am I the only body?
I wasn't trying to diss Motorhead.
When did you diss Motorhead?
I said we weren't fans of Motorhead because Ben from the network called and asked if we had killed Lemmy.
I don't...
Or I didn't. I thought actually he was just joking, like he was trying to blame us for a death that we didn't do.
I don't dislike Motorhead, I just never got into
that. That's what I kind of said. I was like, because we don't really care about Motorhead, we didn't kill Lemmy.
Okay. So the crunch wrap and the crunch wrap supreme.
Okay.
Which the supreme has to be added on to anything else.
I think we should define supreme first.
I think supreme, okay, supreme when you order a taco supreme or burrito supreme from Taco Bell, it's just the food with some sour cream on it.
And tomatoes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sour cream and tomatoes. So it's just
maybe this means like adding some cum on top of
it. A little bit. Well, see, I was almost thinking like the firehouse salad, like we still had it right, you know, eating buffalo sauce off an ass. But then remember we mentioned the blue cheese? I think the blue cheese would make it a Firehouse Salad Supreme.
See, I was thinking that Supreme would just be like a visible cum shot added to anything.
So like, but then you're eating somebody's ass and then they come all over their own ass, or you come all over their own ass?
You come all over the buffalo sauce covered asshole.
And then eat it, or you eat it first?
And then you're jerking yourself off while you're doing it. And
yeah, because you think about
go,
how awesome
right,
that
right,
was.
Right, right. Yeah.
Then you shoot it onto the Firehouse Salad.
I really hope we don't have listeners who are going to try this, but... Ugh.
And then sprinkle some tomatoes on top.
So the Crunchwrap, you know what, guys? I've got nothing.
Well, see, this is tough for me because the Crunchwrap is actually, like, my favorite thing from Taco Bell. Because I'm an indecisive bastard when it comes to fast food, especially Taco Bell. I don't know whether I want a burrito, if I want a taco, if I want whatever. So I usually get the Crunchwrap because it's like everything that they have at Taco Bell, some stoner one night put together inside of a, you know, tortilla and then just fucking mashed the shit all together.
Yeah.
And made that. And it's the Crunchwrap. And it's everything that Taco Bell has to offer.
That's like every Taco Bell menu item, though. It's like, let's just put this with that. So it's a chalupa and a burrito. It's a churrito.
Exactly.
It's a quesarito.
Right.
Authentic Mexican cuisine.
I love Hispanics.
And their taco bowls.
Supreme can't just be a cum shot, though, because a cum shot is a cum shot. Like...
That's where you add the tomatoes. Or ketchup, if you just want to do ketchup, I guess.
I feel like... blood. I like how you think, Peter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that works. Yeah.
Because where does the blood come from? Is it coming from the dick, or is it...
It's coming from the friction.
I mean, it could be period blood. It could be, you know... anal blood from not lubing properly.
Or dick blood from not lubing properly.
Yeah.
Or vaginal tearing from massive cocks. I mean, you know, pick your poison.
Maybe they're just, like, into really rough shit and, you know.
Could come from biting.
Blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
biting,
supreme.
Beating, whatever. The supreme.
So for a Crunchwrap... Something has to be crunchy. Like, something has to be dry
in
this
scenario.
I think
it's when you put Fritos inside of a condom and then put the condom on your dick and then fuck somebody. And it's all, like, you're wrapped and it's crunchy and it's all, like, and the Supreme is when the Fritos make your dick bleed.
Yeah, and you come inside of it, so then you have the Crunchwrap Supreme.
Right.
And then somebody eats that.
Yeah, you just take the condom and just suck it back.
That's the juicy cheesy Crunchwrap Supreme when somebody eats it.
It's our version of the Frito pie.
Oh god!
It could be tortilla chips too, or you know, even like some Doritos in a pinch. Anything that's gonna crunch inside the condom. That works.
Like some Ruffles or.
Yeah. I was gonna say, could you do potato chips?
You could do Pringles, sure. Yeah, I don't know. Pringles are a little more like. Communion wafery, like I think they would just kind of, you know, disintegrate against the lube on the condom, especially if it's like a spermicidal lubricated condom.
So maybe
kinda...
be like,
well, they're also
chips.
Kind of big. Like,
yeah,
Fritos are
easier.
You gotta
like crunch it up. You gotta break them up a little bit, you know.
Yeah, even if, I mean, otherwise the condom might just
tear even
or
a Frito, you gotta crunch up a little bit, you know, at least break it into like three pieces from the one strip.
I like it.
All right. So does this mean that Howard wants to go try it out? Is that what's going to happen?
I think so. I think he's looking for suggestions.
Howard Moody, you have your homework assignment.
Tell us how the Crunchwrap Supreme is.
Tell us, don't show us.
Yes, very important difference. That's the thing that I've noticed like with some of our fans is that like, you make this kind of joke, we say this, like, I don't want to, if you do it, I'm not going to judge you. I may or may not want to know about it. but I don't want to see it.
No.
You know, don't send me a picture.
I don't want to know about it if you do it. Please don't tell me if you do it. I think there's some time for some real talk here.
Yeah.
We've seen some things. We've seen some things within our chat room now. Our fans are revealing a whole lot.
Things that can't be unseen.
Right. We don't want to know what's going on inside your head. Okay. You know, like this, these are our inner thoughts. This is what we're putting out here. We feel like we know what our line is, and it's hard to, mm-hmm. it's hard for people to understand that we do have a line, because I realize we cross a lot of other people's lines.
But these are our lines right. that we have defined for ourselves.
That's right. Like, and when we're in a chat room and when it feels like somebody is crossing this line and it's like, oh, no. No, don't say that to me.
No.
Oh. We're not trying to offend you as a person. It's just like, okay, let's not go in that direction. Let's bring it back over here.
Maybe we just need to, like, release ground rules into that room.
I think we should. Like, I didn't feel like at the beginning that we needed to say, like, don't post pictures of porn. And then I remembered how much Tommy V likes to post pictures of porn.
Right.
So, you know, we had to lay down the law, basically. And, you know.
But, I mean, I don't need to see, like, a picture of somebody's pants down while they're pooping or something. It's... I mean, to be fair, though,
it was kind of funny. He was, like, out in the woods, and he took, like, a panoramic shot of him pooping in the woods.
And I have posted pictures of that, of myself.
That's true.
It's just my feet on the squatty potty, but still, the implication is clear.
But you know where that line is, and you don't want somebody else to, like, inadvertently, like, just trip over that line and take a picture of, hey, look at this awesome shit I just took. Like, I don't want to see that.
Please. Well, thank God nobody's posted a picture of their own shit. If they do, I will burn that room to the ground.
Yeah.
Well, also, people have different lines. So if you're in the chat room, remember that everybody in there doesn't really know each other in real life.
There's, like, this long line of dickery, you know? And everybody's kind of...
dicks? Like, end to end?
I brought in a woman. I tried. I did my part.
Oh, no, you did, yeah. Your friend
Tyree,
she's great.
It is a fucking sausage fest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's great. We do need more women in that room. Mm-hmm. God, please.
But, I mean, like to
like
use
Lindsay,
her as an example,
if you're out there
like,
listening.
To use her as an example, we were playing Fuck, Marry, Kill, and one of the people in the chat room brought up sets of twins, and Tyree, her younger sisters are twins, so she has a lot of experience of creepy dudes being like oh, like, have a threesome with you and your sisters. And it's like, not only is that just creepy, it's also fucking illegal, like,
and it's incestuous and disgusting.
Yeah,
so that made her kind of be like, okay guys, let's not talk about that, because that's an area where I'm uncomfortable, and me too, because I now have nephews that are twins, so just the mere thought
right.
of some kind of sexual act with twins, I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think, like, once the joke is personal for you, like, it becomes a little bit too real, and you don't, like, you're like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, I know a lot of people are, like, once you have kids, any kind of joke about kids is like, no, I can't.
Yeah, I don't like pedophilia jokes. Like,
right.
You know.
But to be fair, I don't think I would have liked them. You know, I didn't like them before I had kids either.
Yeah, that's true.
That is where my line is, basically, is, like, pedophilia jokes, mm-hmm. not funny.
Right.
But somehow, like, whenever that one card comes up in Cards Against Humanity.
Jerking off in a pool of children's tears. Yeah.
Yeah, I laugh every fucking time.
As long as the kids aren't there. Like,
yeah,
I imagine, like, these kids just cried and then ran away.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
we jerked off
stay,
in their tears.
Hang around.
Yeah.
They went
no,
back to the Ferris wheel at Neverland Ranch. And
why would they?
Just oh, kept on. well, I think
that's a good ending. I think it's time to wrap this shit up.
Wrap it up with some Fritos.
Put some cellophane around that dick.
Let's make it Supreme.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be Supreme. I mean, if you're going to do a Crunchwrap, you got to go Supreme.
Let's just jizz all over our microphones right now.
What if it's not even having sex? What if it's you put in the Fritos, you wrap it up in cellophane, and then you jerk off in it? Then there's no chance of pregnancy, because I feel like putting Fritos in a condom is just irresponsible.
Yeah, I mean, not only just pregnancy, but STDs.
STDs as well, yeah.
I mean, especially if you use, like, chili cheese Fritos, like, that's gotta
Oh, yeah,
be,
that's
like,
gotta counteract the
STI.
Spermicide for sure. You know, and the only add to infection.
Oh, my God. All right. So, yeah, let's wrap this shit up like some Fritos.
Every time you say wrap it up, my mind just goes right back to the Crunchwrap.
I know. I can't. Let's end this program while we still can. Give us a call at 757-541-CUNT. We're at mouthybroadcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and GroupMe. Join our GroupMe chat. All the links are on our website. And yeah, see you next Tuesday, motherfuckers.
Peace.